Well, good morning and happy Sabbath, Wantirna Church. It's great to be here. I just want to welcome those who are online as well. You are also part of the family and we love for you to be here. But I just have to say there's nothing better than being inside the church, in the building, getting to see everyone, realizing that your suit is a little bit smaller than it used to be. I used to be able to button this up and I can't now, so there's a lot of good and bad to coming back, but more good, and I'm glad that we get to see each other's faces. Anyway, it's great to be able to be here. This is the first time I get to preach at Wantirna in the building for the year, which is really exciting for me because obviously my ordination a few weeks back, but this is the real deal, and so I'm really excited to share as well. Before I start, Melody, where are you? Can I just say that... you're not Melody. Can I just say that you have a lot of talent there? How old are you, by the way? 12? Okay, so I had formal piano lessons and all I know how to play is chopsticks. So you're doing really well. In fact, my daughter was sitting next to me and she said that she wants to learn piano now, not violin, because of what you've done. So keep playing. That was really good. Anyway, great to be with you guys. We are still on the series of resilience. We're talking about certain things that will help you get through hard times. And boy, has things been pretty hard the last couple of years. But we can kind of feel like we're entering a new era, a new stage of the world, of the year. So we want to be able to empower you with tools of resilience. And we've gone through a few different tools. As you see here, we're going by the CREATION acronym. Yoshi has shared with us last week on the letter T, which is trust in God. And today, we're going to be looking at interpersonal relationships. But before we start, let's bow our heads and let's dedicate this time to the Lord. Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you so much for your Sabbath. It's just so nice to be able to be here and to worship with fellow believers. Lord, we pray that this message today about the importance of friendships will be able to hit home for some people. May not only those listening, but myself learn from this. And may your Holy Spirit be heard, not my voice, is my prayer in your name. Amen. So we're up to the letter I, interpersonal relationships. But to be honest, it's really trying to just get into the acronym of creation. What we're really talking about today is the importance of friendships. And I want to start off with a really quick story. I'm glad when I look around, no one here knew me when I was a teenager. Actually, Terry... that was before I was a teenager, I think. You knew me. Now, when I was in Brisbane, I went to a church called 8 Mile Plains, and we had a very, very thriving social group. In fact, the social group used to go out almost every Saturday night, and we would go to the South Bank cinemas, and they would charge you $6 for a movie ticket. Pretty cheap, right? That's why we went. Now, we were walking along, and if you knew me as a teenager, you knew that I was very polarizing in my personality. So what I mean by that is I came across very extroverted because I love to be with people, but I realized I had this thing called a social battery. Does anyone know what a social battery is? Yeah? All the introverts are nodding their heads, right? Because I didn't know I was an introvert. I thought I was just an extrovert that got tired. But as I was going out with my friends, I realized that if I got to the point where my battery had run out, I shut off like a machine. I had nothing left to give. Now, at this point in time, we played a game called What Would You Like to Have on a Deserted Island? You may have played a similar game like this, but we're walking down South Bank, and I had reached the end of my battery. I just didn't want to talk or do anything with people. And the question that was raised with my friend and I as we were walking was, what are the three things that you would want if you were stuck on a deserted island? You played this game before? Yeah, okay. So my friend, again, let me remind you, we were 18 years old. Please don't judge me. All right, this is 12 years ago. I'm a very different man now. My friend, he said, there are three things that I would like to take in this island. Number one, I would love to have an unlimited supply of Coke. The drink, by the way, right? An unlimited supply of Coke. He'd also want to have a beautiful lady with him, and he wanted Foxtel, right? Those are the three things. And so I thought to myself, what would I want as an 18-year-old boy on a deserted island? And I said, I would love to have my guitar. I would absolutely love to have just a movie theater in this deserted island. I could just sit and just watch as many movies as I wanted. And then I said, my Bible. And he looked at me and he said, but you're going to be by yourself. You're going to be by yourself on this deserted island. I said, yeah, because I don't need anyone. And he looked at me and he said, are you sure about that? It was at that point I realized I needed him to take me home. And so I had a choice. I could save face and say, no, really, I don't need you. And I could walk and take me about 2 hours. Or I could put my pride aside and realize that I may need people in my life. I chose the latter. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody needs someone. Even if you are the most introverted person in the world, you need to have people. God created us to have people in our lives. And when it comes to this idea of friendships, I want to take just a brief 20, 30 minutes with you just to unpack what it means to be a good friend, to have friends, and what does it mean that you have good relationships and what that can do to you. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to the Bible is very clear when it comes to friendships, as if they're important or not. If you read the Book of Wisdom, which is Proverbs, you'll realize time and time again Solomon states that friends are good. Why? Well, here's the thing. You go 6,000 years back in time, and you get to creation, and you realize something. God says something very specific to the only person who was on the earth at the time. What did he say? It is not good for what? Man to be alone. Now, when you look at that and you say he was a man and he was by himself, yeah, that makes sense, right? But when you look at the Hebrew, Hebrews are a very weird language. The word man is Adam. We know that. Adam means a person, but it also means mankind. It means people. In other words, from the very beginning of time and creation, God had said that it is not good for mankind, for people, to be alone. Now, how do we know that? Here's the thing. To know the detrimental impact of not having friendships in your life, you can just see it over time with stats and facts. And I'm just going to take just a brief moment with you to share some stats. There was an APS and a Swinburne University joint survey. It was a huge one in 2018. Notice, before COVID, right? It's probably worse now. Here are some of the stats. Number one, 1 out of 4, so that's a quarter of Australians, at that point in time when they were surveyed, felt lonely. 1/4 of Australians. If you carry on, 1/2 felt lonely at least once per week. Now you're probably thinking about how you feel yourself as we go through this. 1/4 experience high levels of social interaction anxiety. Lonely adults have significantly worse health. Adults over 65 are the least lonely, and younger adults are the most lonely. Is anyone surprised by any of this? No? Yes? We've gone through this idea of loneliness because we've talked about it during COVID, right? We knew that this was going to be an epidemic. We're starting to see the effects now. But I wanted to show you the in-depth study before COVID hit. You know, loneliness is linked not only to all these things, but to premature death, to poor physical and mental health, dissatisfaction in life. In fact, there was a 2013 study that found that loneliness is as bad as smoking 15 cigarettes a day on your health. It's a pretty big thing. In fact, in the UK many years ago, they came up with a cabinet position in the government called the Minister of Loneliness. You can Google it. He's in there right now. Why is loneliness such a huge thing? Why does it have such detrimental effects on your physical, your emotional, and your mental health? You can see what happens when we don't have that connection with people. And I could go on and on and on, but here's the thing, right? I know a lot of introverts probably deal with some of this on a daily basis in their mind. We love to think and to maybe even at the end of the day remember all the interactions we did and all the things that we shouldn't have said and all that kind of stuff, right? But here's the thing. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. And I'm looking at the ones who are nodding, right? There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. Being alone is a choice. Being lonely is not. And so when we look at this idea of the importance of friendship, I just wanted to start off with this so you understood how important friendships are before we even open the Bible. Now, here's the thing. We've looked at the stats and the facts. But the thing with science is that it cannot tell you why, which is why we love to have the Bible on hand here. So grab your Bibles. We're going to jump in and we're going to have a look at the reasons why loneliness is so bad for people. And we're going to start off in Genesis 2, verses 18. I'll have the Bible verses up on the screen. I've done it more for those online because I love you guys to open your Bibles, to highlight, to have it for your own. Genesis 2, verses 18. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says this: "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for mankind to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" As I said, from day dot, God, when he created humanity, had in mind for Adam to feel the loneliness so he could understand the importance of having a friend, of having a helper. And you can see that in the way that God not only creates creation, but also the way that he creates love. You've probably heard this before, but there's not only just one type of love in the Bible. Right? In English, we just say love. We say, "I love my wife, and I love to eat chocolate, and I love that Porsche," right? And it all kind of means the same thing in English, but in actual fact, there are different types of love. I'll go through this quickly because most of us have probably seen this before, but it's important. The four types of love that are found in the Bible, this is the Greek version. There's eros, there's storge, there's philia, and there's agape, all right? So you've probably heard this before. The eros love is the romantic love between your partner. You've got the storge love, which is a familial kind of love. You've got the philia, which is the brotherly love. And then you've got agape, which is the godly love. Now, here's the thing, right? You can see this from the very beginning that God created us to be social creatures. You can see the social circles that God has formed around this idea of love. But I want you to do something while you're here. In your minds, I want you to look at those four loves and prioritize from the most important to the least important right now. What's the most important love for you out of the four? And be honest, what do you prioritize the most? And as you're going down, get to the last one, put your hand up if philia or friend love was the last on your list. One person. Okay, I'm interested to hear. Did anyone put philia love first? Friend love. Okay, so we've got no one first. Who put it second or third in the middle? Okay, great. Now that's good. Now here's the thing, right? When we look at society, where do you think society places friendship compared to all those other three loves? Where do you think it prioritizes? It's last. Here's the thing, right? In the Western world, what do you think is the most important, the most sought-after type of love? Easy, right? Which one? Eros. How do you know? You turn on the TV. You look at the magazines, right? Here's the thing that I didn't realize until a few weeks ago. Who here has seen Lord of the Rings, the trilogy? All right, every Kiwi, I want your hand up right now. Right? This is in the citizenship test now. All right, now Lord of the Rings, the best trilogy ever made, right? In my opinion. The thing about Lord of the Rings, if you've watched the movie, you'll realize that there's this romance between these two characters, Aragorn and Arwen, right? You know that's not in the books? Have you ever read the books? They're really huge. But Peter Jackson, for some reason, thought, when I'm going to show these movies to a Western audience, I have to put eros in there. When you read the books, the love between the two are in the appendices. Because J.R. Tolkien wanted to make the friendship love the most important thing in that movie or in that book, right? The friendship between Frodo and Sam was the main selling point of the book. But he felt like he had to, the director, put eros in there because the Western world wasn't going to take it. And you might have a lot more movies like that that might just insert these romantic loves because that is what is sought out for in the Western world. Now, if you go to the Eastern world, which one of those four do you think is number one? Someone shout out. Philia? No. Storge. Okay. Storge, family, right? There's a really important thing where if you don't do something right, you bring shame upon the family, because family is number one. Now, the other ones tend to kind of just fall down the wayside. We put God first if we're religious or we believe in something, but the friendship love always tends to find itself all the way down the bottom of the list. And because we live in such a fast-paced culture and world, I remember, I think I've told you guys, I've moved almost 28 times in my life, right? To keep intimate friendships is a very hard thing to do in this life. See, I don't care if you've got 2,000, 3,000 friends on Facebook or Instagram. I'm not talking about the casual connections that you have at work, the friends by circumstance. I'm talking about intimate friendships. Think about it for a second. How many do you have in your life? And this can be a really sensitive topic, because we can bring in those feelings of loneliness. Now, I'm going to talk about what a friend looks like and what a good friend should be. And we're also going to talk about things that we can do to remedy those things. But I just want you to be aware of where you are at in your journey when it comes to understanding philia, the friendship love. Now, here's the thing, right? With the loves, family doesn't count. Have a look at this. This is in Proverbs, and we're going to be looking at a lot of Proverb verses today. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That's Proverbs 17:17. There's a better version of that I found. It's in the CEV. It says, a friend loves you all the time, and a brother helps in times of trouble. Can you see the difference between the two? Right? Solomon is kind of putting them in different categories. See, family will always be there, but not all families like each other. Right? Like, if you think about your family, you might have some people you feel, you know, oh, yeah, that uncle, or, you know, that cousin that I haven't seen for a while. Yeah, that family, right? But the thing with family and friends is that you don't get to choose your family, right? And this is why friendship is so powerful. You get the choice who you want to be friends with. You have the power to make sure who's going to be next to you and close to you and share that life with you. Family, well, you get what you get, right? That's just family. And that's why it says in times of adversity, in times of trouble, they will be there, because they're blood. But all the time, a friend should be there. Now, have a look at this. C.S. Lewis has written a book called The Four Loves, right? He talks about this whole thing. This is one of my favorite quotes. Friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. You ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like there was someone who just understands you? That just knows you? It's hard to find someone like that. And they're few and far between, but they do exist. And again, I'm not talking about just the casual contacts. I'm talking about intimate friendships. Even Solomon makes the distinction here in Proverbs 18. Have a look at this. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. A real friend. So here's my question for you, church. What is a real friend? What is a proper relationship? What should they look like? I'm going to be very quick here, but I have the four S's of real friendship, and I want to share them with you today very briefly. Number one, a real friend is solid. Proverbs 17:17, we read, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A real friend loves at all times, no matter what the scenario is. They're there. They're constant. They're a bit like soldiers who trust each other. You hear about the military with the Roman army, and they were only as strong as their weakest person, because the reason why they were strong was because of the people next to them. They are solid. Next one. They are sensitive. Proverbs 26, verses 18 to 19. Just as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon is someone who lies to a friend and says, I was only joking. Now, this verse here is tough for Aussies and for Kiwis because we love to banter. We love to bring people down as a joke. I remember that, you know, when I went to Australia from New Zealand, one of the guys told me, who was one of my mates, he said, "The reason why we're making fun of you is because we like you." And it didn't compute in my mind, but I got used to that culture. You know, the closer you are, the more you can bring them down. But it wasn't until I married my wife that I realized that that mental thinking was slightly different than most of the world, right? We come from very different cultures. And I remember when we were dating, and I was so silly back then, wasn't I, babe? I'm sorry. And I said something as a joke. And I said, "I was only joking, sweetie." And she didn't get it. She thought I was bringing her down. And I'm not going to mention what I said because it's ridiculous. But the fact that I could joke with her and say that she was something and just say, "No, I was just joking," it still hurt her because those words didn't change even though my actions were different. And so I had to learn very quickly in my relationship that I've got to be very intentional with what I have to say. I have to be sensitive. Now, this is quite difficult for Aussie men because we do love the banter. We love to joke around and jest, and that's okay. I'm not saying you don't do that. But be sensitive to the person you're talking to. If you know them well and you know what they think about when they leave the conversation, if you know they mull over those words and they go over them and they overthink, don't joke and jest. Lift them up. Be sensitive. Number three, be sincere. Proverbs 27, 5-6, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. It kind of sounds like this is a piece out of the Art of War book, isn't it? Right? It's this wisdom that someone who's close to you, if you have a wound from them, it's better than kisses from the enemy. And it's so true. Do you want a friend who will, and we've heard this before, tell you you have spinach in your teeth? Do you want that type of friend? Yeah. Now, is that friend going to make you feel good all the time? No, right? And so there's a give and take with friendships, but the Bible is saying that it is better to not just compliment them all the time and make them feel really, really good if they need help. And so you've got to be open and honest with them because in the long run, if this is going to be a real friendship, it's going to come back to bite you. But here's the thing. You've got to balance the sincerity with the supportiveness. So you don't just tell them what's wrong with them, right? That's not a good friend. You tell them things that will help them. Be supportive. In Proverbs 27, verse 9, it says, "The heartful counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense." Counsel from the heart, confiding in someone. There's a pastor called Tim Keller, and he says that a true friend always lets you in and never lets you down. Isn't that nice? But here's the thing, right? Every friendship is different. And if you could really sit back and look at those four S's, how many people in your life could you safely say fit all of those boxes and tick all of them? And I bet you there's probably not more than 3, 4, or 5. Because to find someone who ticks those boxes is a very hard thing to find, and that's why you want to keep them. But everyone does friendships differently. You see, when you look at this idea of even the differences between men and women, we do friendships differently. Even different cultures do friendships differently. So they don't look all the same. There's a lot of research into the gender studies, and they found, and shock horror, men and women are different, even if culture tells you otherwise, right? They do things very differently. Now, with men, how do you think men like to have their friendships? Is there a lot of crying involved? Is there a lot of opening of the heart? No? Okay. Yes? Great. Who said that? Good. With men, friendships, and they found this time and time again with research, that they are transactional. There needs to be a purpose, an activity, a shared You know, you're going swimming together. You're playing tennis together. That's why you never hear of counseling sessions with men. You always hear of men sheds, right? Because they want to do something while they can open their heart. That's just how we men work. Here's one thing that my wife never understood. I have a friend that I've had since I was 5 years old. All right, so that's 25 years from New Zealand, and he now lives in Brisbane. Sometimes we don't talk to each other for 1 or 2 years at a time. But do you know what? I still consider him my close friend. Right? According to research, that's a very male thing to do. Right? Because we can just kind of catch up again and talk after 2 or 3 years and we can just be back to normal. Now, I'm not saying that this is all men. This is just a general research showing a trend. Now, here's the thing with women. You guys are not like that at all. You guys aren't transactional at all. You guys like to be emotional and intentional and intimate. You guys do friendships very, very differently. In fact, they found, and this is another study, they found that women with early stage breast cancer were 4 times more likely to die if they had no close female friends. Right? That's how God created you, to connect. That's why if you're married and you guys go out as a couple together as a double date, chances are you're going out with the wife's friend, not the husband's friend. Right? True. Because the women are the ones that connect, who want to be intimate. Men are like, yep, cool, I'll come along. What's there? What type of food is there? Let's go. Right? That's how it is, because that's how we're created. That's why having a man and a woman together in a marriage forms this kind of beautiful, perfect connection of love, because they show different sides. Men and women are different. Everyone from different ages are different. Millennials, from Gen Zs to your baby boomers. We are all different in the way that we do things. But it doesn't change the fact that friendships are important. And if you don't have them, are detrimental to your health. So let me end just with a bit of a conclusion. Those are the four S's: solid, sensitive, sincere, and supportive. And we look at those four things, and you're probably thinking in your own journey, in your own mind, what type of friends that you have. And you might find yourself on a spectrum being, I've got too much friends, to I don't have any at all. Now, if you're on the I have too much friends, ask yourself the question, do all of them tick those boxes of those four S's? Chances are probably not. But if you are on the side of, I may need more friends, I don't have many, then you find yourself in a category that about 1/4 of Australian adults find themselves every day. It's a big thing. And people are lonely. But if we're going to take a page out of a book, it would be from the Bible, and we look at Jesus as an example. Jesus had an amazing circle of friends. See, there's another pastor called Rick Warren, and he says that Jesus loved everyone, but he only trained 120, he only discipled 12, and he only mentored 3. You can have a big group of friends that you have fun with. You can have friends that you can go and hang out with and have, you know, circumstantial friends at work. But everyone needs someone to rely on. Even Jesus did. He had 3 close friends that he shared his heart and soul with. And at every level of the friendship, you can make a difference. Because one thing that we haven't talked about is the fact that we may have lots of friends or little amount of friends, but here's the question for you. What kind of friend are you? I've heard it said that the best vitamin for friendship is B1. That wasn't meant to be a joke, but it's true. The best remedy for friendship, where you are on the spectrum, is to be a good friend. And so if you're going to take anything from this message, if you're going to take something away and hopefully it allow it to change your life somehow, let it be this. Be a real good friend to everyone that you meet. Because chances are that person may not have a friend like you. Chances are that person may not have someone who's like Jesus in their life. And so this opportunity to share the philia love is an opportunity to show the love that Jesus showed to his disciples and that he does to us today. May God bless you all.